for the sons of gentlemen. A school that leaves such an indelible impression on those who go there that for the rest of his life the world will know a Chittlebury boy from the gingerly way he sits down. But let nobody suppose that punishment is meted out at Chittlebury without due regard to the processes of law and such solemn ceremony as is even now taking place in the headmaster's study.
L.K. Fenner and F.E. Morris, I will now read out the charges against you. That you, on the night of last night, did climb up the spire of the great hall steeple, and on top of said spire did place a certain object. How please you, guilty or not guilty?
Yes,
oh, I'm just plain well pissed. Bring him over to the window, Mr. Potter.
Yes, headmaster.
Gaze on the unsavory result of your exploit. Look at it up there, gleaming in the sun, visible from the next county.
They might have broken their necks doing a thing like that.
Yes, but that's all you can say in favor of it. It's a very serious crime, and their punishment must stand for all time as a dread warning. Pass me that rifle.
Yes, headmaster, yes, you're not going to shoot them.
With the utmost reluctance, no. The namby-pamby laws of this country prohibit any real discipline. I just want to get rid of that fool. Stand back. Got it. Right in the middle of the floral pattern. And now for you two. Over you, Ben.
Yes, sir.
Make a note of the punishment, Mr. Potter. 6 wax each for climbing the steeple, and 6 more for leaving the dormitory after lights out. A grand total of 13 wax.
13?
One for the pot.
Headmaster, he's here again.
Halliford, what do you mean by interrupting me? Who's here again?
The man from the Scholastic Surprise Company, Headmaster. He's just coming up. Sir.
Oh, love it. All right, hold him off as long as you can, Halliford.
Well, I'll do what I can.
Listen, Potter, I'll get down here behind the desk. When he comes in, you distract his attention while I crawl out the other door.
Well, I'll try, Headmaster.
I don't know. This is the 8th time I've come about this bill, and I'm not going to be put off. Professor Edward, what are you doing crawling about on the floor?
Hey, well, oh, well. Read this exercise. You know, think you can count.
I come here about my account. Your school owes me no less than...
Nanty, all right, you lads, pop along to your class. We'll resume our exercises later.
Yes, thank you, sir.
Now, Mr. Osborne, in what way can I smooth wrinkles from your furrowed brow?
By setting your account to the Scholastic Supply Company. Your school has received assorted textbooks to the value of £104.8.
And you require textbooks, quite right. Very proper. Potter, give me a couple of the £100 bundles of notes.
What £100 bundles of notes?
The ones in the safe.
What safe, Headmaster?
What safe, he says. Why the tape standing there in the... Ah! It's gone! We've been robbed! It's the country house gang! We'll call the police!
Mr. Oswald, where are you going?
To see my solicitor.
Hey, no, no.
I was treated to this elaborate charade the last time I presented my bill. I am not falling for it again.
Oh.
The time before that, my money had been snatched off your mantelpiece by a mischievous guest.
Would that be possible? I mean, they do use bright colored paper to line their nest. They've been known to snap jewelry and rings and bits.
Edward, I had not traveled all the way here for a lecture on ornithology.
No, just to give us the bird, I suppose.
Here is my ultimatum. Unless I receive within 14 days £104.8, a county court writ will be served on it.
A writ? Oh, no, please, the publicity.
That's your lookout. Good day.
Well, Emma, it's disgusting how the money motive is creeping into education these days.
Yes, Master, didn't you hear what he said? A writ? I don't understand why you're not showing perturbation.
I'm not one whit perturbated. A mere £100-odd, well, that's not difficult to raise. We'll sell some security.
But what security?
Well, your overcoat for a start. These 4 coats over here on the mantelpiece. A valuable old master.
You don't mean that dreadful oil painting.
Well, I certainly don't mean Mr. Dinwiddie. I think this lot should do nicely. We'll take him down to Mr. Harris's shop in the village. He dabbles in antiques and objects of dark.
Well, I doubt if he'll give you £100 for those things.
Well, in that case, I'll bung in this rare old box of Julius Caesar as well. Come on, Potter. Get your hat and your wheelbarrow. We go not to bury Caesar, but to raise money on him.
Headmaster, are you sure Mr. Harris will want this stuff?
Want it? At a village shop like that, he's glad to take whatever's on offer.
Believe me, I appreciate the offer, Mr. Stevie, but I wish I could take it. I'd like to oblige a good customer like you, but I can't sell a statue.
Oh, nonsense, Mr. Harris.
No, honestly, Mr. Stevie, nobody nowadays wants a 6-foot marble statue of some old Roman.
Greek, Mr. Harris. A Greek youth. Ganymede, actually. Hence the bunch of grapes and the pitcher of rye.
Oh, well, whatever it is, there's no call for them. Please, won't you tell your chauffeur to load it back on the car? Look, it's taking up so much room in here.
Mr. Harris, that statue has been outside my front door ever since I bought Manor Hall. I've never liked it, and now I want you to take it off my hands. You won't have to buy it. I'm giving it to you. Whatever you get for it, you're welcome to.
But I can't get anything. Please, Mrs. Teddy.
I'm sure you have no difficulty in disposing of it. Good day, Mr. Harris.
That is... You can't give him away. Not unless you're Mrs. Blooming Cheviot. Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear.
Mr. Fox, Harris. Professor Edwards, you heard me, no doubt.
Oh, just a minute. I'll put these earrings away.
Yes. That's the idea. Keep the place tidy. As a matter of fact, we've been having a little bit of a clear out at the school, and I came across a few pieces I thought we might let you have.
Oh, not another one. What sort of pieces?
Oh, excuse me, of course. I decided to offer them to you first, you being local. It's just a trade such as Sotheby's. Such treasures. Look at this one here. A very handsome top coat. Tailored in Paris for the Baron de Potter. And here we have several beautifully cased silver drinking chalices used by the Abbot of Chivalry before Henry VIII turned the old monastery into a tea room. Also, this magnificent hand-painted picture. Attributed by experts to the Constable School.
The Constable School?
Now at Hendon, I believe. And finally, the pride of the collection, your friend and my friend, the late great Julius Caesar. Now, your niece Buck teaches in Sir Mortimer Wheeler's latest book on archaeology, entitled Dig This. So, I'll now let you have the whole collection for, you'll never believe this, a mere £104.08.
What?
Oh, he wouldn't give you tuppence for the lot, including the wheelbarrow.
What do you people think this shop is? A rubbish dump?
Well, it looks like it, I must say.
You're the second one this morning. Look at this ruddy great statue I got lumbered with. Look at it. I'd pay a quid to have it hauled away.
How interesting, but I don't happen to be a general haulier. I am headmaster of the distinguished public school, and I'll thank you not to pay a quid.
Oh, indeed.
Cash? Oh, here it is.
Well, it's better than nothing, thank you. All right, come on, Potter Patterson. Grab that statue and let's go.
That's it, Master. It must be a ton. And all these other things.
But, well, I suppose I'll have to help you. I'll carry the overcoat. Just hit me out there anyway. Now, come on. You were right, Potter. It does seem to be quite heavy, doesn't it?
Yes. Yes, Master.
Oh, goodness, here you are in a state, aren't you? Poor old Potter. Well, never mind. You've got it back to the study now. You can have a jolly good long rest.
Thank you.
Right, yes, that's long enough. Master. Right. Get out of my chair. Put this pound away in the cash box.
Yes. Yes, Master.
That leaves another £103.08 needed to pay old Osborne off. I don't suppose you can allow Mr. Harris wanting to get rid of another 103 statues in the next 14 days, can we?
Oh, please, Headmaster, don't even think about it. What can we do with 103 statues?
Well, we could have a crowd scene.
No, Headmaster. What can we do with this one?
Well, I've always wanted a statue.
Well, what's the use of it, Headmaster?
There's a thousand uses for a statue. I mean, we could convert it into a standard lamp.
Yes.
Or a rather flamboyant table lighter. We could even use it as a statue. I mean, now, why not? Lots of schools have statues in their grounds, usually in honor of some famous ex-pupil who... Oh, Potter.
What is it, Headmaster?
Oh, it disgusts even me.
I'll hang a cloth over it.
Not the statue. I mean, I must admit it is rather repulsive, but I mean... this idea that I've just had. Listen, just suppose we sent out a lot of letters asking for donations.
Donations?
To purchase a memorial in memory of an eminent former pupil.
What sort of a memorial?
A statue.
But why do we want to buy another statue, Headmaster? We've already got one.
Exactly. But nobody knows we've got it today, don't you see? Whatever money we receive will be, if I may use the Greek expression, dead bunch.
But, Headmaster, isn't that rather...
Brilliant? Yes, it is. By appealing to parents, boys, old boys, and staff, why, we'll raise £103, ain't with no trouble at all.
Oh, Headmaster, I don't think honestly.
Well, I don't think honestly either. That's the secret of my success. Well, now, listen, the thing to decide first is which of our ex-pupils is worthy of commemoration. Now, then, let's think back to the old... Any suggestions?
Well, what about J.P.L. Tufnell? Somebody told me he's a well-known judge now.
He's a judge of formation dancing. Think again.
Yes. Well, it was P.K. Fanfroy. He was very prominent in the city at one time. I wonder what he's doing now.
7 years. Well, I'm so good for him. There's only one way for Chisholm to have a distinguished ex-pupil.
But what's that, Headmaster?
Well, you remember that film, The Man Who Never Was?
Yes.
Well, stand by for the boy who never was neither.
And knowing that the name Samuel Upjohn holds a place in your heart as it does in ours, I'm taking the liberty of including your full name in this appeal, which is strictly limited to a few people like yourself, whose record of public service and philanthropy is in the finest Samuel Upjohn tradition. How's that, Headmaster?
Make 2,000 copies of this appeal out. You'll get the addresses from Mr. Potter.
Sheriffin, what's this collection box?
Well, that's for the Samuel Upjohn Memorial Appeal Fund, O'Reilly.
I never heard of it, Sid. I've got a fix in a bit here somewhere.
This is the headmaster's favorite charity, you know.
Oh, is it? Well, in that case, I'd better make it a sitting.
Excuse me, Mr. O'Reilly. I couldn't help overhearing because I was listening. What price were you putting on your veneration for a memory of our distinguished ex-pupil?
Five bob, Headmaster.
Our very distinguished ex-pupil.
Well, I've only got 10 bob, Headmaster.
Thank you, Mr. O'Reilly. And I'm sure that wherever he is, Samuel Upjohn thanks you, too.
All right, boys, I've prepared a little test paper on the period we did yesterday. Question one, for what was Louis the 14th largely responsible?
Louis the 15th?
Don't be such... Oh, it's you, Headmaster.
Yes, it's me. Not at all, Miss Aniford. My apologies for interrupting your class. It's just that, well, I don't get depressed, but I still haven't received a donation from you towards the Upjohn Memorial, and it is the last day today, sir.
Yes, I know.
Of course, I'm not forcing anybody to contribute. It's all voluntary. I mean, you're quite free to refuse, in the same way as you're quite free to look for another job.
Well, I would give gladly, Headmaster, but to be quite honest, I don't know who Samuel Upjohn was.
I'm boggling. Can you hear me boggling? Why, any one of these boys could tell you. Morris, come here. Morris, I want you to relate to Miss Halifor the glorious career of your illustrious predecessor.
Yes, sir. I've never heard of him either.
My heart has deceived me. Memories like Sibs, you boys have got. And you, Morris, you above all people have reason to revere Samuel Upjohn's memory.
Why? What's he done for me, sir?
But now, a few days ago, you stood in my study, did you not? Awaiting the administration of 13 wax. Do you know why they were never administrated, Morris?
No,
that was because climbing the people was Samuel Upjohn's first exploit here. And it is a Chiselbury tradition that no boys will ever be waxed for doing anything the great Samuel did.
But you were going to what, Mr.?
I had forgotten, Mrs. Issenbury. One does forget unless one has a memorial below one's study window to remind one.
Sir, do you mean that if we get the money for a statue, there's a lot of other things you won't get what for doing?
You may assume that, Morris, yes, if we get the money.
Good. I've got 1 and 4, sir. You are.
And I've got 9 cents, you can have, sir.
Drop it in the box, yeah.
£2.10 from Mr. Clowder, a parent. Check for 3 guineas from Miss C.R. Murphy, an old boy.
2 shillings postal order from the resident fuel pump.
Ah, well, just a minute, Mr. Potter. Let me put up this page. Well, how's your money up there?
£138.10 so far, eh, Master.
No, really? All right, Mr. Tennyson, thank you. I'll take over now.
Right here, old Master.
Here, £138. He's made a profit and all. New overcoat for old Potter, a new pair of drinking boots for old Jim.
Thank you, Headmaster.
Well, cheer up, it's worth a treat.
Headmaster, a fraud has been perpetrated, and I've been a party to it.
A party? You're more like a wake. Cheer up, Potter, nobody will ever know, and it's all in a good cause.
Every time I think about it, my tummy flutters.
There's nothing they can nab us on. I mean, they're getting what they paid for. There's a statue in position out there now, all suitably covered up and ready for the ceremony.
Ceremony? What ceremony, Headmaster? We're not having a ceremony, Headmaster.
Oh, ceremony.
Excuse me, Headmaster, but Sir John Gorton is here to see you.
Sir John? Headmaster, the chairman of the Board of Governors. He's found out.
Nobody's found out nothing. Get a grip on yourself. Show Sir John in, Mr. Halliford.
Yes, Headmaster.
He's discovered the fraud, Headmaster. I know he has. He should never have done it. All along I had qualms.
I don't care if you had qualms. Pull yourself together.
Sir John Gorton, Headmaster.
Ah, Sir John. All right, Halliford.
Edwards, I want to see you. I had this letter above a memorial to an ex-pupil named Samuel Upjohn.
We can explain, Sir John. We can explain everything.
No explanation is necessary. How much money have you collected for this scheme?
Oh, nothing much, sir. I assure you, hardly anything.
It's a trifling £138.
£138?
We can return it all. We know where every penny came from.
Return it? It's a magnificent effort. Superb idea. And just to show the governors are not lagging behind in generosity, here's a check for you.
£50. Well, I
say, we all wanted to show our respect for Samuel Upjohn's wonderful achievement.
Of course.
Yes. Incidentally, Edward, it may sound a bit odd, but you know, for the life of me, I can't quite just recall what exactly Upjohn did achieve.
Oh, come, Sir John. I'm sure a man of your personal capacity only needs a little hint, son. If I were to say to you the word Abecuana land?
Yes. Oh, yes. Yes, of course, yes. Yes, I remember now. Thank you, Edward. Now tell me, what sort of memorial is it?
Oh, it's a statue. A marble statue. I've had it specially carved for me in Genoa by an Italian master chiseler. He only does bespoke work.
Really? Let me.
It's a male figure in classic pose, bearing in one hand a bunch of grapes and in the other a jug.
Grapes and a jug.
Well, it's symbolic, you see. Everything's symbolic. There's a symbolism, you see.
Yes.
The grapes represent the many hours Upjohn spent visiting the sick.
I see. And tell me, what does the jug represent?
His great work as a prison commissioner.
Ah, yes. Well, I can see you put a lot of thought into this, Edward.
Quite recently, yes.
I'd like it to be recognized, you know. Now, when's the unveiling ceremony to take place?
Tomorrow morning, 11 o'clock. That gives us half an hour before the open. Anyway, it's just a simple affair, you know, a few parents and old boys. A dignified without being in any way ostentatious.
Yes, well, I'd like to make much more of an occasion of it, you know, get somebody distinguished down to do the unveiling.
Well, I think we'd need busy, you know.
Well, a bishop perhaps would do.
A bishop?
Yes, or I tell you what, in view of Upjohn's prison work, why not invite the Commissioner of Peace?
Oh, no! No!
No, why not?
Well, Mr. Potter shrinks from public recognition of his good work as much as I do. But let me assure you, he was just as responsible for this scheme as I was.
No, no.
Yes. Wait, argue it out between yourselves. I must be off. And leave it to me to get somebody down from town for the ceremony. I think the occasion demands it.
If you say so. You're the governor.
Yes. Oh, yes, I'm the governor. Yes. All good, Edward. Well, wait till tomorrow then. Good night.
Good night, Sir John. Good night. You great clutter, isn't it? Why, twice you nearly blew the gas. What are you trying to do? Ruin me?
Edward, listen. You know I am a fool.
Oh, Sir John, you needn't have come all the way back to tell me that.
No, it's this unveiling. We'll never get anybody all the way down here for 11 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Well, it's postponed.
No, not if the parents have been invited. Look, isn't there some local personage we could get to perform the ceremony?
Well, we're not very well off for celebrities in this leafy backwater. There's Miss Packett, of course. She's 104 years old. But I doubt if she could get the day off. She's the portrait chiseled with Satan. Just for the next few months, I suppose that is.
Well, I'd prefer somebody of, shall we say, social standing.
Social standing? Oh, I've got it. I'll ask our local lady of the manor to unveil the statue.
Oh, really? Who is she?
Mrs. Teviot. Charming woman. I'll scribble out an invite right away and get it delivered in Santa. Excuse me. Mr. Halliforth, send up a couple of slaves. Thank you.
Do you know this Mrs. Teviot well?
I have, chatted her, you know. I seem to recall she's got a statue or two of her own dotted about the grounds of her residence.
Yes, and I bet none of them compares with ours, eh, Edward? A brand new piece of sculpture, specially imported from Italy.
Yes.
I'll be interested to hear what she has to say about it.
So will I.
Doctor.
Now, you boys, have you contributed to the Upjohn Memorial?
Oh, yes, sir. Every penny I had in the world. 140.
Good work. Well, you'll be pleased to hear that the headmaster has now nearly £190 to provide a splendid statue.
Really, sir? That seems a lot of money for statue.
Hello, Mr. Kerber's here again. What do you know about statue prices, fellow? This is no ordinary statue. It's got all the optional extras. Like a jug and a bunch of grapes. And marble ones, too.
Oh, well, I'm sorry, sir. I just thought...
You just thought. You're not at school to think. You're here to do as you're told and be whacked. I'll take this letter over to Mrs. Teviot at Manor Hall and wait for an answer.
Why not, sir?
Right now, sir.
No, it's very much in touch, sir. I promise you to send it when I go through Minster, it's easy.
If you're not on your way in 6 seconds, you'll go through Finestra, a window. Now, hop it, both of you.
Yes, sir.
You have to chat at them all the time. Everything's an argument.
Yes. Well, I do hope that Mrs. Teviot will accept.
I'm sure she will. I couch the letter in the most inviting terms.
And you may rest assured, madam, that all the other local knobs will be present, and that the subsequent booze-up will be in a manner that... Yes, yes. Are you sure this letter is from your headmaster?
Well, I didn't actually see him write it, but that's his literary style, all right.
I don't understand it. What is this Upjohn Memorial I'm to unveil? I think I'd better phone Professor Edwards. I'd be wanting to speak to him anyway to ask him how my statue looks.
Your statue?
I gave a statue to Mr. Harris in the antique shop. He tells me he gave your headmaster £1 to take it away.
Mrs. Teviot, has this statue of yours got a jug and grape?
Yes, that's the one. Ah, that steaming old sister. 190 quid got for nothing. I beg your pardon.
Shut up, boy. Mrs. Teviot, do you think our dear headmaster's been told that the statue was yours originally?
I shouldn't think so. I'll ask him when I do.
Oh, no, don't phone Mrs. Teviot. Just come, please.
You really want me to?
More than anything else in the world.
Me too. Please, Mrs. Teviot. Oh, you're very persuasive, little boys. All right, then. I'll do it for you. In the evening tomorrow morning, I'll be there.
So shall we.
Ah, good morning, so please you could make it. Mr. and Mrs. Corb, isn't it?
Pycroft.
Oh, yes, Mr. Pycroft, and your son is young Anthony.
Robin.
Yes, of course, Robin Pycroft, that's his upper fifth.
Lower third.
Oh, well, I got the sex right anyway. Always say to get the sex right, life is no problem, eh? And so sorry, I didn't see the gators. Or perhaps you'd like to mosey on down to the unveiling area. We're beginning cracking any time now, ladies and gentlemen. One more cherry for the road, Padre.
I have already had two headmasters.
Actually, you've had four, but who's counting? On the house.
Suppose you better get going. I just want a last glance at my feet.
Very well. I'll see you down there, Headmaster.
Before this little ceremony, I have been persuaded to say a few words. Yes, well, it seems a good swift 45 minutes was here. Wait a minute, though. Now that the bishop's turned up, I'd better cut out the one about the honeymoon couple in Bedfordshire. Where is it? On the fourth piece, sir, somewhere.
I would like to know, sir, Mrs. Cheviot has arrived.
How's you, fellow? You going to watch the ceremony?
I wouldn't miss it for the world, sir.
That's the spirit. You'll really enjoy this. Fellow, I don't like that smile. The same smile that you were wearing just before the front wheel fell off my bike. Fenner, what do you know that I don't know?
Where the Samuel Upjohn statue really came from.
Oh, well, all right, I admit it. It came from Mr. Harris's shop. Now I suppose you want your ninepence back.
Oh, no, sir. What's going to happen will be worth ninepence, you see. And I meant where it came from before Mr. Harris's shop.
And where was that?
Mrs. Cheviot's garden.
Why don't you want to... Oh, good bloody.
Exactly, sir. Mm-hmm. You'll recognize it immediately. And you'll say so. Then somebody will bring up the matter of donations.
Yes, sir. I've got a pink.
Ah, there you are, Edward. Hello. I couldn't really be going down now. Oh, what's that striking?
The death knell. We're going down all right.
Well, come along then. What's the matter with you?
Nothing that a miracle wouldn't cure. I'm coming. We've got to put it, John, until the sun comes out, eh?
No, when will that be?
Oh, not long, 2 or 3 months, you know, our sun.
Nonsense, sir. The weather's perfect as it is.
Well, good morning, Professor Edward. Isn't it exciting? I'm dying to see the statue on the hill.
Don't touch that, Mrs. Cheviot. Leave that seat alone.
But why?
Mrs. Cheviot, I've got a message for you from your husband. He wants you to join him immediately.
My husband's been dead for 15 years.
Somebody's been pulling your leg, Edward. Now, let's get on.
Ladies and gentlemen, pray silence for Professor Edward.
Hello, I think I felt rain. Oh, yes, it's raining. Everybody inside, quick, before we all soak the skin, quick inside.
Yes, master, there's not a cloud in the sky.
Oh, do get on, Edward.
As I was saying, ladies and gentlemen, I've had some very disappointing news. I've just received a telegram, that's it. The last surviving relative of Samuel Upjohn died this morning in Montevideo. I think it's a mark of respect we should leave the statue crowded.
Oh, dear. Then perhaps we should postpone.
Oh, no, sir. It's all right, sir. Another telegram arrived just now. It was his dying wish that the ceremony should take place.
Let me see that telegram, fellow.
Let's see yours, sir.
Let's not waste any more time, Edward. Perhaps we'd better curtail the ceremony. Just carry on, Mrs. Cheviot.
No.
Yes, please, Mrs. Cheviot.
There we go. It gives me great pleasure to unveil this splendid memorial, the Samuel Upjohn statue. There.
What the... Good grief.
Hey, Edward, that's Mr. Potter.
How do you shut the mouth for 5 sugar? You open it for 5 dozen of the best.
Yes, sir. Peculiar-looking statue, Edward. Odd face.
Yes, sir. I think there's a bit of dust on it, Mr. John. I'll just go up closer and brush it off. Potter, how did you become the statue?
Heard in the village where the statue came from. No time to warn you.
Well done, Potter. Think you can stand still long enough?
I've got to, Headmaster. I'm covered in glass full of Gary.
Then don't worry. Leave the rest to me. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, I understand. I sense your mood. That's why I brought you in to the study here again now. You didn't want to look at my statue anymore, did you? In fact, you didn't even like it, did you?
Well, let's face it, Edward. It doesn't even look like a human being.
It never did. Don't worry, ladies and gentlemen, I shall send the statue back to Italy as soon as I can.
But what about all the money donated towards it?
It will not be wasted. Your money will be used to pay for essential scholastic supplies.
What is that? What ended I hear? Well, why didn't you think of that before?
That's what I've been asking myself.
It's all well and ends well, eh? My only regret is that my dear colleague, Mr. Potter, is unable to be here.